You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
You've all sacrificed so much to be here and be a part of this thing we're doing.
This crew is made up of couples.
It's the first ever large-scale colonization mission.
And everyone back on Earth is
really grateful for your hard work and your courage.
We're making history here.
This is wheat. What are the odds of finding human vegetation this far from Earth?
Who planted it? You hear that?
What?
Nothing. No birds. No animals. Nothing.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this special mini-sode review of Ridley Scott's brand new snooze fest dumpster fire Alien fucking Covenant. Oh, good lord. And well, Justin demanded even that Loy Sauce have a little something ready to describe the film to you guys, just in case nobody is aware of what Alien Covenant is, aside from a 2 fucking hour long sleeping pill that you take when you sit down in the theater seat. So, Loy Sauce, without further ado.
Oh, I don't have anything prepared because Justin didn't actually tell me to prepare anything.
You idiot!
So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the plot synopsis from the official website.
Wait, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
Loy Sauce.
Thank you. Ridley Scott returns to the universe he created with Alien Covenant, a new chapter in his groundbreaking Alien franchise. The crew of the colony ship Covenant, bound for a remote planet on the far side of the galaxy, discovers what they think is an uncharted paradise, but is actually a dark, dangerous world. When they uncover a threat beyond their imagination, they must attempt a harrowing escape.
That was officially better than anything in the theater that I saw today.
I wish I could roll my eyes harder.
That was much more exciting than anything that happened in Alien Covenant, by the way.
Oh my god. All right, well, I want to open up this. I know he's been chomping at the bit all day. Ever since he saw it.
I fucking hate this movie. I fucking hated it. This is just a garbage fucking schlock fest. Nothing in it is close to a fully formed idea. Aside from a couple solid performances from like the three main actors, there's really nothing here redeemable. This is a fucking shit show.
This is going to be an extremely positive review of this movie from everybody involved. Ooh.
Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we tried to get, you know, a fair trial here for the film. We tried to get a fair group of a jury, so to speak, for the film. And unfortunately, you may be hearing just one side of it because I don't think
because we're all sensible people
have anything for you. You're probably going to hate us. If you walked into that movie and you loved it, you might not be listening to the Epic Film Guys after that. But hey, film is subjective, ladies and gentlemen. That's the key thing. We try to keep that as much out in the open as possible on the show. Me and Nick disagree all the time, sometimes so much that I want to choke him to death, and I think about it as I'm listening to him talk. But hey, I still love him, and I still appreciate and understand his opinions. But moving
on. Make no mistake, this movie is garbage.
Okay, Loy Sauce, so why don't you tell us your initial thoughts on Alien Covenant?
As I've kind of ruminated about the film, I definitely like Alien 3 better. I think I like Alien Resurrection better. I would rather watch Alien Resurrection.
My boy.
I'll explain why later, but anyway.
I know that feel.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'll explain that later. But first of all, I want to start by saying, you know what movie I was really pleasantly surprised by this year? It was a film called Life. It wasn't high art or anything, but it's a better Alien movie than Alien Covenant.
Of course, it was a complete ripoff of the original Alien from 1979, and kind of shamelessly so, but there were some really well-executed suspense sequences in it. And even when the characters made dumb decisions in the film, you could easily forgive it because they were characters that the screenwriters actually took the time to develop somewhat. None of that is in Alien Covenant. None of that. This movie is a betrayal of the original, near flawless classic film from 1979. Preach. And it completely pisses away all the potential set up by Prometheus. So what you're left with is nothing. Any goodwill I had for the future of this franchise has been sucked away by this hollow, uninspired cash grab.
Wow.
And that's my initial thoughts.
Wow.
just initial thoughts. I have much more to say. We all do. But I want to pass it off to the next person.
Well, Justin, I'll save you for last here. I'll jump in on this here. And I saw this one most recently. I actually just saw this about 1:45 today. And I am no fan of Prometheus. We just did the retrospective of it last week where Justin and I talked about it. And, I mean, it's just that movie, there's so much potential in it, but it's just hamstrung time and again by its utterly stupid, ignorant, just moron characters. I hate the characters in that film, with exception of one or two. And what does Ridley Scott do in Alien Covenant? He doubles the fuck down on that formula. He gives you another just cluster of characters, half of whose names you don't even learn. And he just gives you a whole bunch of cannon fodder to throw at CGI abominations, gives you a couple of good actors giving really good performances with utterly shitty, lifeless material. This film is fucking garbage. I am not the fan of the franchise that anybody else here on this panel is. Everybody else is going to have more to say in terms of its tie-ins to the actual Alien canon. I don't have anything to say about any of that. I really, really feel like Ridley Scott is just, he makes pretty, pretty movies. And if he gets a pretty movie with a really, really good script, a la The Martian, he makes a fucking great movie. If he gets scripts like he got for Prometheus or for Alien Covenant, he makes lifeless piles of shit that look really, really pretty. This is just another shiny turd from Ridley Scott.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with you there, Nick, honestly. And you forgot Exodus, Gods and Kings.
That classic.
Added to that. But honestly, that wasn't very pretty looking. It was a CGI shit fest. I went into this movie, and those of you that listen to our episodes on a regular basis, you know that the first trailer, I was a little bit weary of it because I said, this just looks too easy. It looks too simple. Are they really going to retread Alien, or possibly a mix of Alien and Aliens together just to give us an easy movie? And I was worried about it. I wasn't that excited. Then the second trailer came out, and I said, you know what? I'll be cool with it. I kind of came to terms with the fact that, what if it's just scary again? What if it's full of suspense? What if it's brutal and awesome like Slasher in Space, with good, likable characters that I am invested in, that I care about, just like I cared about the characters in Alien and Aliens. Now, mind you, I'm going to make this out in the open before we go any further here. Anyone that's going into this movie and expecting anything on par with Alien or Aliens, they're fooling themselves. Never expect that. It's never going to happen. If you do that and you're setting yourself up for complete failure immediately before you even sit down to watch the movie in the theater, it's not happening, ever. So there's never that argument that's going to come into our discussion that, oh, well, you went into it thinking that it was going to be as good as the first two. No, what I went into it wanting was just a solid, decent Alien movie. I've seen enough shit fests since the second one. You know, bits and pieces of some of them are good. But no, there hasn't been one really good Alien film since Aliens, let's just face it. So I went into this thing with the most open mind possible. I was excited. I was hoping for an awesome, brutal slasher in space. What I got was a really crappy slasher in space with some fantastic, awesome gore, some really awesome CGI shots, and then a creature that we all know and love that completely lost all mystique. All mystery about this creature is just stripped from its being totally in this movie, and you could care less about it anymore. That thing that you were so scared of when you were a kid when you watched the first Alien, or, you know, your first time watching Aliens and these bug-like creatures are crawling out and they're being blown away. you no longer care about. It's no longer special. It's CGI. There's no guy in a suit. Everything about the thing just seems artificial. And the one thing I walked away from is that Ridley Scott seemed like he was sleepwalking his way through directing this thing. Never once was there a singular focus on one theme or idea where you could get invested in it. It was just, oh, let's continue Prometheus. Let's make this half a Prometheus sequel, half a new Alien movie, and throw it together and make it work. And those are my initial thoughts as we move on into the rest of our review.
The amount of vitriol that I have for this film is astounding. It's like 30 years worth of angst and hating my dad all coming out at once.
Damn.
Wow.
That's a lot of hate. That's a lot of hate. You mentioned, Justin, that Ridley Scott sleepwalking through this film, it feels like half an Alien movie, half a Prometheus movie. Judging by interviews, I think Ridley Scott has a profound misunderstanding of why there was such a divisive reaction to Prometheus. He seems to think that people didn't like it because it didn't have xenomorphs in it. So this whole film feels like a bizarre hybrid of the Prometheus sequel that Sir Ridley is obviously much more interested in, and a tedious, tensionless remake of the original Alien.
Well, and to be fair, a lot of people did complain about Prometheus that it wasn't enough like Alien. And
Yeah. I mean, I personally believe that the ties to Alien are the weakest parts about Prometheus. But I understand, like, a lot of fans were going into Prometheus wanting it to be like Alien because the trailer was edited exactly like the original teaser for Alien. You know, Ridley Scott from the director of Alien, like, they made a big point about him returning to the world. And when the movie didn't deliver, there was a lot of disappointment. So, but that's not the... For most people, or at least for a lot of the critics, that wasn't the worst part about it, because it was Prometheus was at least trying to go in a different direction, trying to do something a little bit different. I think it had loftier, you know, aspirations than just remaking Alien. So then you get this movie, and it's like Ridley Scott is saying, you know, you people want a xenomorph? Well, fuck you. Here's a fucking xenomorph. And so he's crammed in... That's what it feels like. So he's crammed in these, like, been there, done that scenes of the xenomorph attacking people on the ship. And, like, we've seen it all before, and there's just no buildup whatsoever. These scenes just kind of happen because, you know, they're what's supposed to happen in an Alien movie. And it just goes through the motions. And some of the scenes are just so unbelievably predictable that they're practically telegraphed on the screen. And it makes for an extremely frustrating and boring viewing experience because you know where it's all headed.
And it's like Justin said, in terms of fear and the claustrophobic feeling of especially the first two Alien movies, especially the original, when you have just open wide shots of this creature, CGI running around just constantly
in daylight,
it looks silly. It just looks fucking silly. That's the whole thing, it to me anyway, that really makes the atmosphere of Aliens so engrossing, is because you only ever see glimpses of the monster. That ship is shot incredibly tight, incredibly claustrophobic. I mean, granted, he had to do that because of limitations with technology at the time. But Caleb was the one that mentioned over on the Facebook page that, you know, is he the next George Lucas? And
kinda.
It's like, you know, like, yeah, there's a very, very strong argument.
We need to take Alien away from Ridley Scott and give it to J.J. Abrams so that he can make a movie that has the same tone and structure as Alien to save this franchise.
I just want to make sure people are clear out there. We're mentioning the word xenomorph in this review. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of it.
Yeah, it's
but
actually a
we're
protomorph.
It's a protomorph, yeah.
Xenomorph.
It's not, though. It's different because let's just get into spoiler territory because we don't care. If you haven't seen it yet, this is your warning.
Why are you listening
to
our
any
review?
Further. Yeah. Well, I mean, in general, some people do, and then they're like, oh, come on, dude. This is not the same beast that we saw in Alien. This is not the same creatures that we saw in Aliens. This is something completely different, and there's a good reason for that, because this thing is created by an android. David is God, basically. He is the equivalent of a god in this thing. He has taken the motivation to want to wipe out the human race because they no longer deserve to live. They don't deserve to have a brand new fresh start. What I'm going to do is just kill them all with aliens, and I'm going to impregnate them with these protomorphs, or the neomorph, the little small thing before it gets into the new protomorph. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's what they did. And the way that, I swear to God, the way that they connected the ship landing at the end of Prometheus when they go on to the engineer's planet is done in less than 5 minutes. It's a glimpse of him dropping all that black goo that we saw in Prometheus down on this whole race, this whole society, and they all die in like a second. They're all dead. And that's
it. Yeah, it's completely retconning the entire previous movie. We you know, that was Prometheus. And that's what's frustrating, is that Prometheus is very, 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 very flawed. Very flawed. But I liked, you know, the air of mystery and what's going on. And I was hoping that this film would provide me with some answers. And really, the only thing we learn from Prometheus to this film is that David is the one who created the aliens due to all this crossbreeding and such. And Elizabeth Shaw, who was such a strong character in Prometheus, if anything, that movie works because you have an interesting central character played by a phenomenal actress, and they just unceremoniously kill her off in between movies. And
yeah, you remember Alien 3?
There you go. Dude, it takes a new all okay. over again.
Okay, so they kill off Elizabeth Shaw. Noomi Rapace doesn't even make a physical appearance in the movie. The promo clips that were released online, that prologue or whatever, she's in the prologue. Why isn't she in the film? Why couldn't they have just added that footage into the film? And it just doesn't make sense to me.
I almost wish that I hadn't watched that goddamn prologue, because all I could think of when they went to that scene where, you know, they bring the ship in and they drop the goo, because that's the end of the prologue that they released. The whole time I'm watching that, and then literally for about half of the rest of the runtime of the movie, I'm wondering why I wasn't watching that movie, like the movie exactly. of what happened to Elizabeth. Like, after she rebuilds him, how he then ends up betraying her and killing her. Like, that to me would have been a far more fascinating movie than this fucking shit heap.
Instead, what we're thrown into is another group of an attempt at what we saw in the first two Alien films. An attempt at creating a team-like atmosphere where these characters are just supposed to be likable. In the first film, it was truckers in space. In the second film, it was a bunch of military guys. Okay. In this one, these guys are just colonists. They're just headed to this planet to basically create a human colony on this foreign planet. So that's what they are. They're just normal people that know what they're doing on a ship. And my main issue with this movie is that as soon as it opens, what happens? Okay, we lose the captain of the ship, by the way, which is played by fucking James Franco. And you never see James Franco in the rest of the movie for the entire runtime, except for on a video on a fucking iPad. Why was James Franco in this movie? Tell me why. Please. Did he have a bigger part? You obviously, you changed something.
He did. He did have a bigger part and it got cut.
Exactly. But the main problem I have here is when, and I like him, when Danny McBride is the best performance in your movie, you have a problem. When he's the character you Savage. Can relate to the most and you care about the most, you have a problem. That's my opinion. None of these characters were likable. I feel bad for Catherine Waterson. She played Danny Daniels, who obviously Ridley was like, you have to have a Ripley haircut. We have to cut. You have to get a butch cut. And you have to wear a wife beater the same exact color that Sigourney wore in Alien. You have to look exactly like her at the end. It was all set up a certain way. There's things that are so specifically set up to make it obvious that it's supposed to be like what we saw with Ripley.
Including lifting dialogue and imagery wholesale from the original Alien. And that's another thing that bothered me. Literally lines of dialogue, the character, and this is supposed to be a prequel. It's not a reboot necessarily. It's a prequel to Alien. So the fact that they're saying the exact same dialogue seems a little bit weird to me.
Now, I'm not going to say this movie is horribly directed. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think it's directed lazily. It's a very lazy direction from Ridley Scott. The guy is a master, but he only comes out and shows what he's got, like Nick said, when he's got a great script. With something like this, you can tell he just doesn't care anymore. He's bored. This guy's old. This is how many years after he did the first one. That's why he wanted to do something different with Prometheus. That's why we walk away with, going back to it, you know, kind of two-dimensional characters. We get introduced to them, but we never really get anything about them to really care about them. You're supposed to care about Daniels, played by Catherine Waterson, yet again. And you don't really connect with her the whole time because they don't ever mourn the losses that they experience in this film. It's so quick and it's so over with that you always just immediately forget about it. And then you're supposed to be looking forward to seeing aliens and seeing kills. But let's touch on Michael Fassbender as Walter slash David, because he plays two different characters, two different droids in the movie. Caleb, what did you think of Fassbender in the film?
Overall, his performance was pretty good. David's a pretty awesome villain, but it's heavily tempered with a script that makes him do some really fucking weird things. Like, his two characters, like, they kiss at one point, and it's like a weird erotic fan fiction moment.
I would watch a whole movie of just that scene, by the way.
I'm not surprised. It just, like, it's not bad or anything. It just kind of came out of nowhere, and I was like, why is this happening? And, like, he does the music lesson with him, and it's like, we get it. David can create. Walter cannot. Like, why, well, like, why is this happening in this film that's ostensibly an action movie? I don't know.
All of the scenes with David and Walter were really protracted and drawn out and very dry, and it was just the two of them sitting across from each other. And, I mean, Michael Fassbender is far and away the best thing about the film. The more time we spend with his character, the more engaged I was, I guess, or, you know, I was engaged during the sequences with him, but they felt like they just ground the movie to a halt because we're following, you know, all this scary alien shit and then back to the two of them in a cave talking about philosophy and stuff.
And he's shoving a fucking flute in Walter's mouth and here, you can play it. And it's like a 5-minute scene of him learning how to play a flute. I mean, all right, I get it, but
I'll do the fingering. Which, that line caused my theater to erupt into hysterics.
It's a penetration joke.
It's so awkward.
Hashtag finger blast.
No, I absolutely love Fassbender in the film, and I'm a huge, huge fan of Fassbender. So David, I think, is a fascinating character, and I love when they got to the second act of the film, you know, after they get to the engineer city or whatever, and, you know, David's introduced and whatnot. That to me was the best part of the film because that was the part of the film where it wasn't just schlocky, dumb CGI monsters running around and, you know, phony tension and killing off, you know, cannon fodder characters that I didn't even give a shit about. It was actually, you know, a character that I knew about. And I love Fassbender so much and what he is able to do. And I agree with Loy Sauce. The scenes between Walter and David are really, really drawn out, but it's also, just as a fan of watching Michael Fassbender act, it's also just fantastic to watch him give two completely different performances in the exact same scene space. It's just fantastic because these are two entirely different characters, even though they're both androids with the same goddamn face. Even though I'll have this caveat about it, it's so fucking aggravating because it's clearly a plot set up from the very beginning, because in no other Alien film does any android look the same. They're all different. So it feels like a plot set up from the beginning. They wanted to hide the fact that David was a bigger part of the movie in marketing. That's part of it. But a huge, huge part of it, it's the same exact model or face on the android, whatever you want to call it. It's the same exact thing because there's a dead giveaway. Like, you could see it coming from 1,000 miles away, plot set up in the film, where they're going to swap places. It's so fucking obvious from 1,000 miles away.
I do, as soon as you saw that there were two of them that looked the same, you knew.
It was a dead giveaway. It's so easy.
If you didn't
to
know, I was just waiting for it to happen. And then he cuts his hair.
Wait, can a robot's hair grow?
Yes.
Apparently. In this universe, it can.
Why would a robot's hair need to grow?
So they can appear more human, I guess. I don't know. Because, well, that was the whole thing with David. He was basically created to be able to perfectly blend in with humanity. But they made them more robot-like because they were off-putting. But
which is an interesting concept. It's an interesting concept. But, like, again, within the context of this movie, it feels out of place.
No.
Is this a Prometheus sequel or isn't it? That, like, and the movie never really decides that. And you're right, that twist, you could see it coming from a mile off. And the most frustrating thing about it is if Ridley Scott had cut a certain scene by just seconds, it would be less obvious. You wouldn't be able to tell right away that it was that that's what he was doing. He just needed to trim that scene by just a couple seconds, and it would have been a better reveal for it.
And you know what one of the most frustrating things to me about that entire reveal was? Remember when Daniels is fighting with David? She takes that spike. There's that spike that she focuses on very early in the film from her husband, ties it around her neck, so you know it's going to be nail, pivotal to the plot later. You know, so she takes it and drives it up through his chin. But when you see the shots of the android on the ship at the end, it's clearly David. But I was looking specifically because I was just trying to figure out, like, okay, which one is it? Because I just wanted the movie to tell me. There's no hole in the goddamn guy's chin, but it was still David. I was like, where the fuck did the hole go? Did some of his wounds close automatically and others didn't? That just one of those little continuity things that just irritated me.
It's a fuck up. It's just like the same fuck up that we saw earlier on in the film. Once they first land on this planet, Danny McBride, Tennessee's wife, she's the pilot of the ship. When she gets the blood sprayed in her face from the backburster, she goes back to the front of the ship. She locks the door. She's on the intercom calling back to the ship, like, we need help. We need you down here now. No blood on her face. She goes back into the lab, blood back on her face. So she started with blood on her face. Sloppy. Exactly.
That's not even the worst part of that whole scene, though, because the worst part of that is, remember how far away the signal was from the landing craft? It was 8 kilometers. 8 kilometers away, and they are at the ship when she's radioing them. And then, like, literally the next scene, they're in the wheat field that's, like, right down the thing. Like, the passage of time in these fucking scenes is all over the place, especially with how quickly this goo thing is manifesting these neomorphs inside of these characters. It's so goddamn stupid.
Only when it's convenient, Nick. Only when it's convenient. And I'm sure you picked up on that.
It
and
just
I'm
goes back to the laziness aspect that you already mentioned. It's laziness. There's no attention to detail here. They were 8 fucking kilometers away. That dude's backburster would have come flopping out of him miles back, way before they ever got back to that landing craft, with how fast it gestated in the other guy. Or do they just gestate depending on the needs of the plot? Yes, they do.
There you go. Let's here's something that I want to throw out here, because there are some things about this movie that I did enjoy. So let's move on to this. You know, I'm a huge lover of horror. Anyone that listens to the Epic Film Guys podcast, they know I love horror. You know I love practical effects, that of which some we don't see here. We don't get one full realized guy in a suit for the protomorph in the film. This is the first time ever for a film that the alien was done completely in CGI. No up-close shots, nothing. It's literally CGI the entire time. But I love great gore, and I love hideous, brutal gore. And this film did have some fantastic gore scenes. There was some blood squirting out in that backburster. I absolutely loved that. And it wasn't all CG blood. They did use some practical blood shots, and if they didn't, it looked really great to me. So I may be wrong about that. So I did enjoy the level of the violence that has been completely absent from the series for quite some time. They kind of dumbed it down in a lot of the other films and kind of just pulled it back a little bit, made it more action oriented or more open for bigger audiences, even though they were all R. But I did like, I really did like a lot of the gore aspects of the film, and that they at least attempted to try to make it scary again. The problem that I had with that in the long run, even though it had fantastic gore, that of which we have not seen in a major motion picture in so long, I'm sure that Brian could attest to that as well, it's not scary. All of the early reviews, all of the huge critic quotes that I kept seeing were like, Ridley Scott puts the fear back into the Alien franchise. You'll walk out terrified. And I'm like, when was this film ever scary? Why is it scary?
The scariest thing about this film is how much Ridley Scott's dropped off in the later days of his career.
I mean, like Nick said earlier on, we see this creature that, you know, even though you call it something different and you design it slightly different and you don't have it a guy in a suit, but you put it out in broad daylight. And even though that sequence was really exciting for me, I did like the sequence when, you know, the module craft is trying to lift off of the planet and get back to the ship. I thought it was a really good action scene. I think it was pretty well shot, and I think it was decently put together as far as tension, but it was like the only scene that felt like that in the entire film.
I hated it.
I did like it. But I mean, like I said, other than that, there was legit no suspense in this thing. You knew around every corner what you were going to see and what you were going to get. There was nothing scary about this other than the look of the film was completely muted. The score was ominous and generic, and there was a lot of blood. I mean, that doesn't make for a scary film. You have to have great suspense, great tension, and you have to build these things. You have to build these scares. The jump scares we got in this were about as generic as we'll fucking see in Annabelle 2. I'm calling it right now.
You're probably right, Justin. And also the CGI, again, I want to stress, guys in suits will always look more real and be scarier than CGI, especially with the first... with the neomorph that we see, when it like stands up, it's just kind of like this amorphous blob, and it looks like the stance is like how a human would stand up. And these things are supposed to be aliens. They're supposed to be unknown. They're supposed to be unpredictable. And the creature design by H.R. Giger is some of the best creature design ever, in my opinion. So, like, when you have the creature out in broad daylight, when you take the mystique out of it, and when it's done with kind of subpar CGI, I mean, I was reminded of, like, X-Men Apocalypse and, you know, some of the subpar CGI we've been getting.
Why was all the CGI in this movie so fucking shiny? God, I hate that.
No weight to the creature. In terms of, like, when it was crawling around the ship at the end, it just didn't look like it was really there. Like, it was kind of floating. And then they also just, like, they looked really skinny. They didn't really have any, like, weight or presence. They were just kind of like spider, like daddy long leg things crawling around. And that's not really what the alien design was in the original film. So I know this is a different species or whatever, but I don't know. It just was not scary because the creatures didn't look scary.
And the way you shot it, and the way you had it enter a room,
yeah.
And it walks into the room at the end, and it's just standing there. And the shot just open of the fucking creature just standing there. What happened to lighting? What happened to shadow? What happened to cinematic effect to light this thing so it looks scary, so it's menacing? There was none of that there. And I get it. It's almost like the Jaws 2 effect where they're like, we know we'll never ever get that back. We know we'll never ever get that first shot of the shark coming out of the water, just like they'll never get that first shot of the alien dropping down on Harry Dean Stanton's character in the first film and grab him. I get that. But that doesn't mean you have to do such a shitty job at hiding the thing. Add some suspense. There's a way to make this thing have mystique again and make it more frightening than what you had it make. I mean, and I know, Caleb, you were talking about on our Facebook page how bad you thought the CGI was. I know you were commenting on that earlier.
Ooh. All right. Well, there are a couple pros to this movie that, you know, I'll just point out the couple good things first. Michael Fassbender, Catherine Waterston, Danny McBride, all good performances, I thought, given what they had to work with. David is a cool villain. They had some good visuals, particularly the spaceships and stuff, I thought looked cool. And the shower scene was a classic alien sequence, which stands alone as an island in a sea of bullshit. And it had a cool poster.
Hated it.
Eh. It was all right. I don't know.
You know what I thought would have been great about the shower scene? It's one simple thing. The whole thing about the Alien franchise, the whole thing is this, it's sexuality, it's rape. The tail coming up through her legs should have fucking, like, just cut right up into her and, like, cut her in half and then shoot the little mouth through the guy's head. Like, it, but it didn't.
Yeah,
it just,
shit.
Like, it went, like,
pin him together.
On the fucking shoulder or something. And such a wasted opportunity.
It ended so flat with, okay, the little mouth comes out through the head, the glass, which looked cool, but I'm like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
There was no real visceral brutality to it.
It at least, that was like the one thing, like, okay, that's like, that looks like a scene from an alien movie. You know what I mean?
But, you know why that scene exists? It's to put it in the trailer.
Right. No, exactly right. Anyway, given those couple of pros, I do have some cons to this movie. So, ooh boy, where do I start? I'm just going to rattle them off line by line here. David trying to bond with the Neomorph / Xeno was absurd. These creatures have never been portrayed as anything other than violent, unpredictable apex predators. So why is it in the movie? David's weird fucking music lesson with the other android. Let's stop the whole plot to show a bunch of nonsense. David X Walter erotic fanfiction. Daniels could have been the next Ripley, and they really tried to draw that parallel, but then they didn't give her anything to fucking do. They pulled an Alien 3 by having Shaw die off-screen and then telling you about it. The Covenant crew had no reason to assume that the android they left the planet with was the one they originally had and not the identical bad android. For that matter, Evil Twin is a boring and trite plot device. They know they're on a planet where living things are when they land, but they don't use any kind of helmets or breathing apparatus. What if the planet was riddled with airborne super aids? I can't let you out because quarantine. 2 minutes later, I better open this door and try to kill this creature, then badly injure myself and destroy the entire shuttle in the process. The Neomorph looks cool, but it's not used well in the film at all. The Neomorph burster scenes looked awful, like giant bloody turds falling out of people's bodies. The chest burster comes out as a tiny, fully formed Xenomorph, which is counter to every depiction of a chest burster in anything ever. Then it does a funky little marionette puppet dance. The creature effects are some of the most obvious CGI I've ever seen. The Xeno displays none of the cunning or subtlety it's known for, and just recklessly attacks with no regard to its own safety. The creatures are unkillable when the plot needs them to be, and are wet paper at other times. The final encounter loses all drama because it lasts about a minute and a half. Having David create the Xenomorph 18 years before the Nostromo crew finds the supposedly millennia-old derelict in the original Alien doesn't just break canon, it fucking shatters it. The entire script is a botched abortion of nonsense that never should have been allowed to see the light of day, let alone bear the title of Alien. Mic drop.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. And I knew you had something really well prepared for that. And bravo, good sir, bravo. And let's get to our final thoughts and our ratings on this thing and move on. Because you know what? I never want to think about Covenant again. I never plan to watch this thing ever again. So we'll head on over to Nick. He hasn't been vocal for a little while. So Nick, final thoughts and rating for Alien Covenant.
Yeah, I don't have any final thoughts. This movie was a fucking dumpster fire piece of shit. I fucking hated this movie. Even though I'm going to give it the same rating as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, come on. You can't do that.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is a fucking masterpiece compared to this fucking train wreck.
How can you give it the same? How can you give it? You enjoyed way more things about Guardians than this. How are you going to give it the same rating? Yep. You enjoyed like nothing about this.
Fine. I'll give it a lower rating. 3 out of 10. Fuck it, it's a piece of garbage. I fucking hated it. It's all fucking right, terrible.
That's,
it's terrible.
That's like, a spirit.
Michael Fassbender alone, and Waterston, she does good with the nothing that she gets to do, like Caleb said. Danny McBride is surprisingly pretty good in the movie, but again, he's, you know, pretty one note most of the time. You know, it's those things alone are not enough to fucking save it. Everything about this movie was lazy, 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 fucking lazy. It was garbage. Fuck this fucking movie. 3 out of 10.
And Loy Sauce, let's move on to you, buddy.
All right. Well, I enjoyed fleeting moments from this film. Great opening scene, sucked me right in. There are little moments here and there, plentiful amounts of glorious gore, which everyone knows I love, you know, a good gory scene. So I couldn't hate this movie, but it managed to deflate any and all excitement I had for this series going forward. And this is coming from someone who's a fan of Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, okay? They're bad films, but at least those films had moments of character development and sheer invention and thrills and chills, and at least those were made by filmmakers with a vision. Even if the vision was horribly misguided, at least they had a vision. Alien Covenant is perfunctory in the extreme. It doesn't move the story forward, and it presents us with absolutely nothing new. And I think the ultimate reason why I was so disappointed by this movie is because it has a pernicious impact on the series that it belongs to. It gives us the one thing we didn't want and didn't need, which is an explanation for where the Xenomorphs come from. I don't want to know where the Xenomorphs come from, and I don't need to know where the Xenomorphs come from. The Xenomorphs were scary in the previous entries because they were just that, alien. And nothing is more terrifying than the unknown and the predictable. And we mentioned it before, and I'm going to mention it again. It's like George Lucas giving an explanation for the Force in his prequels. He is destroying the mythos that he created. Pack it up, Sir Ridley. It's done. 4 out of 10.
This movie's terrible. It's just nonsense. I put this in the same realm as the Star Wars prequels. How could you possibly fuck up the backstory to Alien this badly? this is a cathartic release for me, because after this, I'm never going to talk or think about this movie again, because it's just been weighing on me for the last 3 days. 3 out of 10. I fucking hated this movie.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to finish up here with my final thoughts and my rating for the film. I hope you're not hoping for anything beyond what these guys have given it or that much above it. But, you know, I walked out of this thing disappointed. I did not hate it. And I mentioned this to Loisos after he met me after the movie. Thank God you came and met me, because I wouldn't even have known what I would have done after witnessing this without a friend by my side to get me through it. But, you know,
I'm here for you, man.
I'm glad. And we immediately, and you knew as soon as you walked up.
As soon as I walked up.
I had my head on my fist. I was looking down. I'd already been, two, three beers in, and I was like, I need like five more after that shit, dude. And I definitely ordered them. But, you know, I didn't hate it, but I did say to you, and this rings true, that last year, last May, I had one of the worst disappointments of my life for a cinematic feature, and that was X-Men Apocalypse. And I learned after that point that there are times when you are going to want to commit cinematic suicide after watching a movie that you've been looking forward to, that you had excitement for, or that you had hope with and faith with that it could be possibly good, even though people hated it and the trailer sucked and whatever else. So I did not walk away hating the movie. I'm not angry. It's Fox's fault that you're letting an old-ass man like Ridley Scott sit in a room and make decisions on a franchise that he left long ago with any interest after the first Alien. Let's face it, he didn't want to make another Alien film with Prometheus. He didn't want to make another Alien film with Covenant, and it shows. He's bored. It's formulaic. It's literally as weak as they come. I'm going to give the film a 5 out of 10 rating. I did not hate the movie, but it is one of the weakest films I've seen so far this year. But I'm ready, guys. I'm ready to just let this movie be in the past and never think about it again, because it's not memorable. Even for these fans out there that are loving it, I'm glad people are liking it. I'm glad people are getting something out of it, because a lot of people's effort and time went into making this film, you know, from the cast and the crew. People did put some work into this thing, so I'm glad people are liking it. But leave the franchise alone, ladies and gentlemen, just like the Terminator franchise. You know, you've already had how many bad sequels in a row? I don't want to see the world that is being set up at the end of Covenant. I don't care who you get involved. Leave it alone. It's done. End of story. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are our final thoughts and our full review for Alien Covenant. When you see this posted on our Facebook page, when you see it tweeted out on that Twitter land and on Instagram, make sure to comment what you think. If you disagree, tell us why. Give us a fucking essay if you want to. Put some effort into it. That's why it's there. We want to hear from you, the fans.
Stay tuned for episode 99 of the Epic Film Guys podcast this coming Thursday. And we're going to be joined by Caleb and Loisos for that episode as well. We're just recording this all at one time. So thank you very, very much for listening. And
we will see you at the movies.